KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
We have sunshine and 38 degrees this morning. Looking for sunny skies, a high near 57 this afternoon. Good morning, I'm Jim Field, KJAN News. Our news update this hour is brought to you by First National Bank. They are locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. A warning that tens of thousands of jobs are at stake. Governors in wind energy states are calling on Congress to renew an expiring tax break. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber said at a teleconference yesterday that uncertainty over the future of the wind energy production tax credit already has hurt the industry, which employs 75,000 people and drives more than $10 billion a year in economic development. Branstad and Kitzhaber lead the governor's wind energy coalition, which represents 28 states. The credit was first signed by President George H.W. Bush and backed by a number of prominent Republicans, but it stalled in Congress this summer amid opposition from conservative House Republicans who argued it was wasteful spending. KJAN News Time is 8:03. First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Oneida, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Iowa Education Department Director Jason Glass has ordered public schools to adopt an instructional program to help struggling students. Under the Response to Intervention program being imposed, all public school students would be screened at least three times a year. Those falling below a baseline would be given extra instruction and other support. The state says that in general, minority students, students from poor families, and students from immigrant families fall behind their peers on state assessments. Jay Pennington is chief of the Education Department's Bureau of Information and Analysis Services. He says the number of students living in poverty and participating in English language learner programs has increased over the past two decades. But he says Iowa's white affluent students are also underperforming when compared to their peers nationwide. The City of Atlantic's Airport Commission will meet this morning at the Airport Terminal Building. During that 9 a.m. session, the commission will discuss the 2013 Parallel Taxiway Paving and Lighting Project. The discussion will include the review of a letter of proposed funding, a review of the anticipated project schedule, as well as consideration of an engineering agreement for the design, bid, and construction services. The Airport Commission will also discuss the 2014 Federal Airport Improvement Program, the draft for which is due this Friday. The final AIP plan is due on January 11th. Along those same lines, the Commission will review the five-year capital improvement plan and a long-range needs assessment. They're also expected to discuss the need for additional hangar construction. During their meeting on October 10th, the Commission learned the owner of a jet would like to hangar his plane at the airport. The commission discussed where to temporarily locate that jet and possible options for either rebuilding the block hangar or building a new T hangar and how to fund that project. The Cass County Board of Supervisors are expected to act on approving the final plat for the Walnut Grove subdivision during their meeting this morning in Atlantic. The Cass County Zoning Commission held a public hearing May 12th to consider a preliminary plat filed by Jason Wright and others, designated as Walnut Grove subdivision. Afterward, the commission recommended, and then the supervisors on June 8th approved a preliminary plat for the subdivision. The property was the old Walnut Grove Farm along Highway 6 at Lansing Road, southwest of Atlantic. In other business, the board at 10 o'clock this morning will discuss Iowa Code Chapter 354 and the county's Division of Land process. A bridge over Long Creek in Shelby County is closed for the next 5 months while crews work to replace that structure, which is located in the 2100 block of 1500th Street. That site is just east of the intersection of 1500th and Umbrella Road. Shelby County emergency management officials urge emergency responders to plan for alternate routes to reach residents that are located in that area. Well, the lame duck edition of Congress is in session, and many issues remain unresolved, with the pressure building to find compromises. Chuck Hassebrook, executive director of the Center for Rural Affairs, says one unfinished bill that's critical to rural areas is the Farm Bill, which he says reaches much farther than just ag programs.
The Farm Bill sets the rules for rural development programs, for support for small business development, support for community development. It sets the rules for conservation to ensure that we protect our land so that we leave our land as well to the next generation as we received it.
The version of the Farm Bill that's already passed the Senate would cut spending by nearly $24 billion, while the House version would slash $35 billion. Hassebrook is also looking to Congress for action on one particular element of green energy that's important to this area of the country.
They need to look at extending the production tax credit for wind energy. Wind energy has been a good thing for the Great Plains, for the Dakotas, for Nebraska, and for the Iowa and the entire region. But development of wind energy has come to a screeching halt because the tax credit for wind energy is expiring.
Hassebrook says fast action by lawmakers on the Farm Bill and wind energy could provide a shot of confidence for the country. Congress will also have to deal with the fiscal cliff as several tax credits are expiring and a number of other tax issues. The Center for Rural Affairs is based in Nebraska. Former prosecutor Stephanie Rose is now the nation's youngest federal judge and the first female judge in Iowa's Southern District. The 39-year-old former U.S. attorney for Iowa's Northern District took the oath of office at a Tuesday ceremony in Des Moines. U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder attended the swearing-in at the federal courthouse. Rose of Center Point received attention during her Senate confirmation hearing in September for her role in prosecutions stemming from a 2008 raid by federal immigration officials on Agriprocessors Incorporated in Postville. Critics allege that hundreds of workers at the kosher meatpacking plant, many in the country illegally, were rushed through the court process. Despite that, she was overwhelmingly confirmed. Rose became the Northern District's U.S. attorney in 2009. In an effort to ensure Iowa's roads are as safe as possible for motorists during the week leading up to Thanksgiving, law enforcement agencies across the state will be participating in another special traffic enforcement program. Officers with local police departments, deputy sheriffs, state troopers, and DOT officers will be encouraging everyone to buckle up, and they'll be watching out for impaired drivers. They'll also be looking closely for other moving violations. That all takes place November 19th through the 25th. As cow-calf and feedlot operators continue to deal with issues related to the drought, ISU Extension and Iowa Beef Center have been and will continue to offer a series of educational opportunities to address the issues. On November 27th, Cass County Extension will host the meeting entitled Drought, a Game Changer for Beef Operations and Strategies to Move Forward. That meeting will be held at the Cass County Community Center from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Topics for the meetings will be determined as the weather and economic situation develop. There'll be a $10 per person fee for the meeting to cover refreshments and other costs. Pre-registration is encouraged, but it's not required. You can contact the Cass County Extension office to register. Their phone number is 712-243-1132. Checking headlines around the world this morning, Barack Obama is meeting today with about a dozen business executives as the White House and Congress face a series of across-the-board spending cuts and expiring tax cuts if Congress doesn't take action soon. Business groups want an agreement before the end of the year, warning that the uncertainty could roil the financial markets and harm the economic recovery. A big drop in gasoline prices is helping bring down wholesale inflation. The government says wholesale prices dipped by 0.2% last month. It was the first decline since May and followed big gains that had been driven by spikes in the energy costs. The government also reports today that retail sales fell in October as Americans spent less on a broad range of items. Hurricane Sandy may have slowed spending at the end of the month. Barack Obama is expected to make his first comments today on the widening sex scandal involving former CIA Director David Petraeus. Lawmakers have been digging through tons of emails trying to determine if the extramarital affair between Petraeus and his biographer and emails between another woman and the head of U.S. command in Afghanistan resulted in a threat to national security. KJAN News Time is 8:11. At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. In the funeral announcements this morning, 78-year-old Dr. Richard Coatney of Atlantic died Sunday at Cass County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Dr. Richard Coatney will be held today at 10:30 in the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. 77-year-old Richard Wilwerding of Harlan died Sunday at University of Nebraska Medical Center. A massive Christian burial service for Richard Wilwerding will be held today at 11 o'clock in the St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 51-year-old Rhonda Antofer of Audubon died Monday at St. Anthony Regional Hospital in Carroll. Services for Rhonda Antofer will be held today at 1 o'clock in the St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. 67-year-old Dorothy Jean Laudenschlager of Holbrook, Nebraska, native of Irwin, died Saturday at Good Samaritan Hospital in Kearney, Nebraska. Funeral services for Dorothy Laudenschlager will be held today at 1 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Arapahoe, Nebraska. Wenberg Funeral Home in Arapahoe is in charge of those arrangements. 70-year-old Gary Lee Madden of Avoca died Tuesday at Bergen Mercy Medical Center. Funeral services for Gary Lee Madden will be held Friday at 10 o'clock in the Trinity Lutheran Church in Avoca. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. 82-year-old Edith Schuiso of Manila, formerly of Irwin, died Tuesday at the Manila Manor. Services for Edith Schuiso will be held on Friday at 10:30 at the United Methodist Church in Irwin. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has the arrangements. 62-year-old Russell Kevin Stalter of Stewart died Sunday at his home. Services for Russell Stalter will be held Friday at 11 o'clock in the All Saints Catholic Church in Stewart. The Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart is in charge of the arrangements. 58-year-old Marilyn K. Sawyers of Council Bluffs died Monday at her home. Services for Marilyn K. Sawyers will be held on Friday at 1 o'clock in the Cutler O'Neill Meyer Woodring Bayless Park Chapel in Council Bluffs. 84-year-old Kenneth Knutson of Onawa died Tuesday at the Elmwood Care Center. Funeral services for Kenneth Knutson will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock in the St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Irwin. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. 69-year-old Keith L. Johnson of Pilot Mountain, North Carolina, formerly of Harlan, died Sunday in Pilot Mountain. Celebration of life services for Keith L. Johnson will be held on Saturday at 1 o'clock in the Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan. 100-year-old Jesse A. Smith of Avoca died Monday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Graveside services for Jesse A. Smith will be held at a later date. Pauli Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. That's a look at news this hour, brought to you by First National Bank, with offices in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Jim Field, KJAN News.